What a great time of year. Hopefully you've just come off of a great week, and now it's time for the new year, right? Everybody got those New Year's resolutions ready to go. Just can't wait to start a new life, right? You're just going to do all these new and exciting things. I heard about a guy named Pete who was at a New Year's party, and he turned to his friend Paul, and he asked Paul for a cigarette. And Paul said, "I thought that you gave up smoking as a New Year's resolution." And he said, "Well, I'm in the process of quitting." He said, "I'm in phase one." And his friend said, "Phase one?" And he said, "Yeah, I've quit buying them." That's kind of how we treat our resolutions sometimes. Obviously, there are all kinds of lists out there. You can Google and find all kinds of what the top resolutions are, but I did it and found one list that I want to share with you. This was somebody's top 10 New Year resolutions. Listen to what people are going to try to do as we start the new year. First one is spend more time with family and friends. That's a good goal, I think. That's a good thing to do. Second is put the fit in fitness. Yeah. Take care of your health. Exercise. That's always a good plan as well. Third one, tame the bulge. Said that over 66% of adult Americans are considered overweight. So many people start the year off with this way of reducing their weight. Number four, quit smoking. And the research showed that it takes people 4 or 5 attempts before they can ever totally quit smoking or quit for good. Number five, enjoy life more. That seems simple, right? That's a good thing. Sounds good. Number six, quit drinking. Not a problem for a lot of us. Seven, get out of debt. Not a quick fix, more of a long-term solution. Eight, learn something new. Nine, help others. And number 10, get organized. And some of you are saying, "I never have. Why start now?" Yeah, I get that. I get that. Earlier this week, I spoke with a minister friend of mine, knowing that I was going to be preaching this week, and I just happened to ask him, "What are you going to be preaching about? What's your topic for this Sunday?" And he said, I don't know. I don't know yet. I got to wait until the mood hits me." And I thought, that's not very good planning. I think most of you have heard it said that if you plan, or if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. But as we go into a new year, we have all these new and exciting new plans. But I want you to know and understand something. Did you notice as I went through that list, none of those 10 things that people said they were going to do had any spiritual impact on what they were saying they were going to do? There was nothing in there about their spiritual improvement. There was nothing in there about how they were going to include God in their New Year's resolution. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of people. They don't include God. They don't include Jesus in the picture of their normal everyday lives. And let me suggest to you this morning that I think we should include the Lord in every aspect of our lives. I mean, that's kind of a given, but so often we neglect Him in our marriages, in our family situations, in our work, in our play, in dealing with our kids and our grandkids, in our pleasure activities. I can remember, any of you remember watching Dancing with the Stars? Some of you are admitting it. That's good. That's good. I didn't watch it a lot, but I remember watching an episode. Anybody watch it when Donny Osmond won that segment of Dancing? It was on ABC, and they had these different, you know, competitions, and Donny Osmond won, and he took home the show's mirror ball trophy, and he was so excited, and he ran out into the crowd and grabbed his wife Debbie, and he actually carried her across the stage. And even though he had been a teen pop star and sang with his Osmond family and had been on stage and had all this recognition, he made the declaration that winning the Dancing with the Stars was one of the greatest accomplishments in a life of ups and downs. And I can remember him saying, I did it. I did it. And I was sitting there watching that and thinking, man, there's got to be so much more that you're missing in your life. There's got to be something bigger and better. And I think as we get ready to go into this new year, the bigger and better is, how can we be a winner in God's eyes? How can we focus on what we truly need to be focusing on and bless God in the way that we live our lives? So I want to offer some good advice for the start of the new year to you today. Some advice that I think will help to make your new year better. And I think these are resolutions that you can easily keep if you'll just set your mind to them. So there are three of them that I want to talk about this morning. The first one is be careful. Be careful. And I'm going to give you all three and then we'll go back and talk about them. First one is be careful. The second one is be thoughtful. And the third one is be thankful. So first of all, be careful. If we look at our scripture this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 15 through 20, but verses 15 through 17 say this in being careful. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Any of you ever wonder what God's will is for your life? Yeah, I get that question a lot from people. I just don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't know what God's will is for my life. We want to start off today by talking about being careful. Be careful in living. It says to live as the wise and not as the unwise. Don't get caught up in the worldly things. Be careful in the way that you live. Be careful in the choices that you make. Be careful with your time, because in reality, it's God's time. Don't contribute to evil. Seek the Lord's will in all things, every day, in every way. There was a guy by the name of Steve Rowe, and I looked this up, and Steve Rowe's catalog of self-induced injuries read like something out of the Spanish Inquisition handbook or something. Listen to the self-induced injuries of this guy named Steve Rowe. Fractured skull, torn rotator cuff, shattered fingers, broken wrists, fractured elbows, torn muscles, sulfuric acid burns, self-stabbings, multiple broken noses, and a ruptured tendon in his ankle. This is what he said. He said, I just have a lot going on and I get in a hurry. Self-induced injuries. I think hurry and worry and multitasking and stress lead to a lot of accidents in our lives that we probably could eliminate some of those. I think hurry, worry, multitasking, and stress, you might even be able to call those the four horsemen of the accident prone. Because they do. They cause that stress. Think of the stress we sometimes have in our lives, and while we're so stressed out, the little minor accidents that occur just while we're being stressed. Think of multitasking and the way we drive nowadays and the accidents that multitasking cause. Truth, I went by the other day, and at the intersection, there was a lady in this car. She had a sandwich in one hand, a telephone in the other hand, and was smoking a cigarette all at the same time. And I'm thinking, is she driving with her knees, or how's she doing this? The multitasking that leads to many of the accidents: hurry, worry, multitasking, and stress. But I think the same is true in the spiritual realm of our lives as well. If we're not properly focused in life, if we're not seeking God's will, if we're not trying to stay focused on that, I think we in turn along the way will suffer for that. And we get caught up in it. I think most of the time we are far too worldly oriented. We're far too fleshly oriented and materially focused that we forget about our spiritual focus in our lives. Even on a day-to-day basis, so many times we lose the spiritual focus because we're so concerned about the material and worldly things in our lives. I think if we're honest about it, we all would say that we're not spiritual minded enough and that we need to be more focused on that. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4 kind of tell us what we should be doing and what we should be focusing on. It reads, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." I took my Ram pickup truck in a couple of weeks ago for a simple oil change. It's a fairly new truck. I took it in for an oil change, and when they came out after they had changed it, they said, "You need to set another appointment because you have at least two recalls on your truck that we need to work on and fix." And I'm thinking, this is a fairly new truck. Didn't it go through inspections and all of this type of thing? But I think in thinking about that, perhaps sometimes we need a recall on our lives. Sometimes we don't function properly. Sometimes we don't function the way God would want us to function. Sometimes we get out of hand and we mess things up. No matter how good we are, sometimes we just do some crazy things. And we need a recall. We need to be more careful about how we live our life. It's what Scripture tells us. Be careful how you live your life. Be careful how you use your time, and use your time more wisely for Christ. I have a friend who drives a delivery truck, and he was telling me that one day he was delivering a computer to one of his customers, and he got to the entrance of this alley, and as he got ready to go down the alley, there was this handmade written sign that read, "Blocked. Do not pass. Difficult to turn back." But of course, he went on down the alley anyway, and when he got down the alley, he found out that the road was blocked by a fallen tree. And as predicted, it took him a long time to back his delivery truck and get it turned around and go back out the exit of the alley. And he said when he got back to the entrance, he noticed a second sign that read, "Told you so." I think God has told us so. I think God has warned us time and time again, so many times in life, but sometimes we just don't listen too well, do we? Sometimes we want to do it our way. At least that's true for some of us anyway. Some people just keep right on doing the same old things when they know that it's not right. Some people keep going down and living a worldly life when they know they need to be more focused on Christ. And the Bible tells us, be careful in the way that you live. Use your time for the Lord. Seek the Lord in your life. Serve the Lord no matter what else you do. So first of all, be careful. Secondly, be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. As we read on in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." You know, I think we need to be more thoughtful of others. That's always good advice, is it not, to be thoughtful of others? But here in this verse, I think it's telling us to be thoughtful of God's Spirit who lives in us. Well, how do we be thoughtful about that? I found I didn't find the author, it's an unknown source, but I ran across an article, and here's the title: How to Be Miserable. Listen to this. It says, how to be miserable. It says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown to them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. You want to be miserable? I think that's a pretty good list. But here's the question: are we ever guilty? Yeah, I think sometimes we are. We all like to be appreciated for the good things that we do. However, sometimes we just get caught up in ourselves. And we make it all about ourselves, and again, we lose the focus and the sight on God. We become too self-focused and forget about others. When Roy DeLamont was chaplain at Payne College in Georgia, he delivered the shortest sermon ever delivered on campus in the college's history. However, he had a rather long topic. Here was his topic: what does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what's in religion for me? That's a long topic. The entire content of a sermon was in one word: nothing. And he sat back down. He read his topic, and his sermon was nothing. He later explained that the one-word sermon was meant for people that was brought up on a gimme, gimme religion. And don't we get caught up in that? Even our prayers, don't we get caught up in God, give me this, God, grant us this, God, be with me, be with us, be God, do this, God, help us. And that's not all bad, but sometimes we frame everything we pray and everything we do around gimme, gimme. When asked how long it took him to prepare his sermon, he said 20 years. 20 years have taken that all in. Many people are only interested in what they can get out of a situation, not what we owe the Lord in return for what he's done for us. Only themselves and not what they can give to others. In thinking of that, I'm reminded of several key scriptures which may help to guide our thinking in this part today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reads this: so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. There's that focus. Galatians 5, verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And finally, Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says these two commandments are the greatest. The greatest in simple terms, love God and love others. If we base our new year around that, if we base what we want to do in our lives around loving God and loving others, we simply can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. So instead of being self-centered, we need to be more spirit-centered in our lives. We should be thinking more about Him and less of ourselves, being more spiritual-minded. If we set our minds on Scripture, if we set our mind on prayer, if we set our mind on praising Him, if we set our mind on serving one another and serving others, we'll have a better new year. We'll have a great 2020. And then the third thing is be thankful. Following along with verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 5, it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful in Christ. Living a grateful, thankful life will keep you on the straight and narrow. People who are not aware of their blessings and people who don't recognize their blessings, I think, are missing out on a lot of what God has planned in our lives. Instead, they're always looking for more. They're looking for more of something from the world. And I think we've lost a lot of things that we need to be thankful for. In an Associated Press poll, nearly 70% of the people questioned in an Associated Press poll said that people are ruder now than they were 20 or 30 years ago. Would you agree with that? Okay. People are ruder than they were 20 or 30 years ago. They all agreed, those 70% anyway, agreed that manners are no longer taught the way they used to be taught. Simple things like gentlemen opening a door, car door or another door for ladies. Simple things like that. And a whopping 93% in the same poll faulted parents for failing to teach their children well. This went all the way back starting in the 60s. So a lot of us are included in that. So my question is, are you rude? I hope not. I hope we're not rude. But on the other hand, are we quick to be polite in our actions and in our speech? I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself forgetting to say thank you, or I appreciate you. I applaud you for the things you're doing, and then later I beat myself up for it. But you know, the truth of the matter is, shame on me for being forgetful or overlooking that in the first place. But let's take it another step. What about being rude to God? You ever thought about that? I mean, would we ever? Would we ever be rude to God? Well, I think when we fail to express our proper thanks to Him, when we fail to express our gratitude to Him, in a way we are. In a way we are being rude to Him. And obviously to Him we owe our greatest thanks and praise. 5-year-old boy said grace at the family dinner one night, and he said, "Dear God, thank you for these pancakes." When he concluded, his parents asked him why he thanked God for pancakes when they were getting ready to eat chicken. He smiled and said, "I just thought I'd see if he was paying any attention tonight." Well, I believe that God pays very close attention to our prayers and when we don't pray. I believe God pays a lot of attention to when we are thankful and when we're not thankful. Psalm 103 verses 1 to 3 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Dr. Dale Robbins wrote this. I really like this. I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77, verse 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And then one of my favorites, Philippians 2, verse 13, says this, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, I think a positive, thankful person is a great witness in this dark world that we live in. We shine when we are thankful. When we talk about being the light of God, one of the ways we can be the light is to be thankful for what God has done for us and to show that to other people. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather hear someone say things like, bless the Lord, or thank the Lord, or praise the Lord, other than complaining about their circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 kind of sums all of that up when it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now let me go back for just a second when we started and we finished the first part of our Ephesians 5, and we said, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Remember we talked about, have you ever wondered what the Lord's will is for your life? But understand what the Lord's will is. In 1 Thessalonians, it tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm convinced that a grateful person, a thankful person, will live a better life and have a more blessed new year. So do you want a better new year? Do you want a better life? Then be polite. Be polite to God. Be quick to praise Him. Be quick to thank Him. For every little blessing that you receive, always give thanks. I heard someone once say that last year when I called my parents to wish them a happy new year, my dad answered the phone. And I told him, I said, well, Dad, I asked him, what's your New Year's resolution? He said this, to make your mother as happy as I can all year long. He said that very proudly. Then he said, my mom got on the phone and I said, Mom, what's your New Year's resolution? And she said, to see that your dad keeps his resolution. I think God would certainly like for us to keep our resolutions. I think God would certainly like it if we are careful, if we're thoughtful, and if we're thankful. And I think He would see that as a way to rain down blessings on our lives. Walking with the Lord, doing things in His will, is the best way to be blessed. So as you start this new year, do whatever resolutions you want, but make it a goal to be careful to be thoughtful, and to be thankful. Let's pray.